Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Most of us are trying to forget 2020. The pandemic sickened millions and upended everyday life, disrupting the rhythms many of us didn't realize we were so dependent on. That includes the sounds of a nightly baseball game for many. Eventually, Major League Baseball did launch a shortened 60-game season, but the stadiums were empty, the teams were often playing far from home, and the interviews were limited to a webcam. MLB.com Yankees beat writer Brian Hoke looks back on 2020 in his new book, The Bronx Zoom, Inside the New York Yankees' Most Bizarre Season, and he joins us now. Brian Hoke, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So when did you have an idea that 2020 wasn't going to be a regular baseball season?
I was with the Yankees during spring training in March, and we were hearing whispers about things that were happening in China and then in Italy. And it didn't seem to me at the time in our little baseball bubble like it was something that was going to affect Major League Baseball or the United States. And when the players came off the field on March 12th, that was the day after the NBA shut down with Rudy Gobert, and Tom Hanks was on Instagram announcing that he had caught COVID. That was when everything seemed like it was going to be a problem for the Yankees and for MLB. And so the teams came off the field on March 12th, and the league said opening day would be delayed by at least 2 weeks. Well, it turned out to be a lot more than 2 weeks. And for a long period of time, I didn't think I was going to cover a single game in 2020. And so the fact that they were able to get back on the field and even have some kind of season, given the challenges that were going on, I thought that was a remarkable achievement. And was it perfect? No, not even close to perfect. But I think that baseball and professional sports provided something that we desperately needed in a very dark time.
So take us back before the pandemic set in. What were the expectations and who were the new personalities lined up to play for the Yankees in 2020?
Yeah, 2020 was supposed to be a very big year for the Yankees. They had just signed Gerrit Cole, who was the top free agent pitcher in baseball. They signed him to a 9-year, $324 million contract. And this is a guy who grew up being a Yankee fan. There's a great picture of him hanging over the railing at the 2001 World Series, where he's 11 years old and he's got a sign that says Yankee fan today, tomorrow, forever. So this was really the culmination of a lifelong dream for Gerrit Cole to come to the Yankees and to pitch his favorite team to the World Series. And they were a World Series favorite. You know, Las Vegas had the Yankees locked in as favored to go to the World Series and play against the Dodgers. And that seemed to be on track for about 3 or 4 weeks of spring training down there in Florida. And then everything got flipped upside down. And then you just had baseball wondering, what do we do when there's no baseball schedule and there's no game tomorrow? And how do we react to this idea that nobody knows what is coming next?
So what did they do? Because as you say, there was a real lag between that initial shutdown emergency period and then the slow reemergence of the shortened season.
Yeah, there was a lot of negotiation back and forth between Major League Baseball and the players. And the Yankees voted that they were going to stay together at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. They thought it was going to be 2 or 3 weeks, and they thought it would be a competitive advantage if they continued to have their workouts together. But what changed that was MLB's first confirmed coronavirus case happened at the minor league complex. And once that happened, in that time of fear and anxiety and nobody knew what was coming next, once they heard, hey, there's a minor league player who just caught this thing, we are too close to it. And then you started to see players pack up their cars and scatter to the winds. And, you know, a few guys stayed behind, but for the most part, the players went back to their houses and were trying to go into their off-season mode. So it was a real challenge for people who make their living with their bodies to find a way to work out. You know, I talked to Gerrit Cole about it, and he said he went on Amazon and he ordered every single piece of workout gear he could find and just had it shipped to his house. And he was about a week ahead of the curve because, if you remember, a lot of America did. It was really hard to find barbells and any kind of workout gear early in the pandemic.
How did it change your job? I mean, typically, you know, a baseball season is 180 days, 162 games, and then there's a lot of stuff to fill in. All of a sudden, there's no games. What did you do?
Yeah, not having that schedule, not having the consistent, kind of rhythm of the baseball season was a real challenge from a coverage perspective because, you know, as a reporter for MLB.com, it's a lot different than if I had worked for a newspaper where there would be actual news going on. We cover one thing, and that's baseball. And then suddenly baseball is not happening in April and May, and we had to get creative. For a while, we shifted back into our off-season mode and started doing some of the kind of nostalgic retro things, saying, you know, hey, remember when, going back and calling as many former players as we could to kind of touch base with them, not just about the old days, but what they were doing during the pandemic. There were a bunch of stories we did about what the current team was doing through the pandemic. But really, I think what I found was that being in that so-called second winter was difficult to manufacture content that would engage Yankee fans because the players were not on the field. The players are the product. And, people set their watches, set their schedules around a baseball season happening in the spring and the summertime. And when that was taken away, I think a lot of people had lost interest and were trying to find something else to fill their time.
And the game also changed a little bit in ways that may outlast the COVID emergency. Baseball installed 7-inning doubleheaders and a runner on second to start extra innings to try to expedite games and outcomes. What kind of lasting effects do you think last year's shortened season might have on the sport?
Yeah, last year was kind of a laboratory where they could experiment without real consequences. Because last season was so different, you're playing 60 games instead of 162. You've got an expanded postseason where you're going to have more teams going in. They had neutral site playoffs where the Yankees, for example, had to fly out to San Diego to play against the Tampa Bay Rays. So they had a postseason series 3,000 miles from their home ballpark and with no fans in the stands. So it was really kind of a testing ground for all of those things that baseball had talked about in previous years, saying, maybe we could try that, but now is not the right time. 2020 was the right time that you could put a runner at second base in extra innings and say, it's for COVID. It's because we want to get this game over with and get these guys off the field and get them going. The 7-inning doubleheader is the same thing. And I didn't know if those would carry over into 2021, but they have. And I think that the more they're here, the more possibility that they could be here to stay. Some of the protocols, I think, will vanish as time goes on. I'd like to see the 7-inning doubleheader go away, but I think the runner on second rule is safe for a while.
You know, as a fan last year, I kind of gave it the pizza rule, which is it was better than no pizza, even if it was bad pizza.
Yeah.
How much weight do you give to the outcomes of 2020? And I have the Dodgers in mind as I ask that question. That was a franchise that was, you know, desperately trying to get over the hump and finally punch a World Series championship through. And they did. But, you know, there is an asterisk on the season, isn't there?
I think that it's not an asterisk. It's just a completely different season. And you can't compare it to a 162 with the normal, quote unquote, year because there were so many different challenges that went on. I think that the fact that the season was on the brink of collapse pretty much at any time, there was a situation where the Miami Marlins had 18 players come down with COVID and that was threatening the season. I mean, the baseball was very close to just shutting everything down and getting away with it. The fact that the players had to go through so many testing protocols to be away from their families, that there were travel restrictions on the players, that they're playing in empty ballparks, having to self-motivate themselves. It was an even playing field for all 30 teams, but I just don't think you can compare the 2020 season to 2019 or even 2021 now that the guys are still going through these COVID protocols, but their fans back in the stands, they could see their families again. That loneliness and having to kind of find that motivation from within is not there. So 2020 was just a completely different animal as far as baseball is concerned. So the Dodgers won the World Series. They won that tournament. They were the best team in 2020. Now, how do you compare that to the teams of baseball history? I don't think you can because it was just a completely different animal.
We're speaking with Brian Hoke. His new book is The Bronx Zoom, Inside the New York Yankees' Most Bizarre Season. You've been around the franchise for quite a while. You covered Joe Torre as manager. You covered Joe Girardi as manager, now Aaron Boone. How is Boone different from his predecessors from your perspective?
There is a great analogy, and it was written by Bob Clappish, who covers the Yankees for a long time. And he said that essentially Joe Torre was the detached kind of grandfatherly figure in the Yankee clubhouse. And Joe Girardi was the stern dad. And what Aaron Boone is, to me, is kind of the cool uncle who came in, and he's still got the player swagger, I think. You know, Boone obviously had a long career as a major league third baseman. He had a big home run in the 2003 American League Championship Series. And I think that in this modern era here where analytics have really taken hold, I think that what Aaron does and why the Yankees hired him is to be a conduit between the players and the analytics department, the front office, because I feel like that is more prevalent now than ever. And so, you know, Joe Girardi got in trouble when he criticized his own players. There was a game in Cleveland where he aired out his catcher, Gary Sanchez, and said that Gary has to get better defensively. And, you know, Girardi was dead on correct there. But I think that at this time, you need a lighter touch, or at least the Yankees wanted a lighter touch from their manager. And I think that Aaron Boone coming in from the broadcast booth with no previous managerial experience was exactly what they wanted. And look, Boone had a lot of success. He won 100 games back-to-back years his first couple of years. I think the results of the pandemic year, as I said, are a completely different animal than any other year. But this year in 2021 here, I'm watching the Yankees, and they just had one of their worst losses of that I can remember last night. I think that Aaron is on not the hot seat, but he's on a very warm seat at this point, that he was given the keys to a team that was supposed to win a World Series here. And now back-to-back years, it's looking like they're probably not going to do that.
I know this is it's the multi-million dollar question. But as we speak here at the beginning of July, why is this happening?
That is a great question. Yeah, multi-million dollars, right. If you had the answer to that, could fix it, the Yankees would write you a very big check. I think that you've just seen underperformance across the board with so many guys that you were counting on. When I was in spring training with the Yankees this year, I had legitimate concern about their starting pitching. I didn't think they were going to be able to pitch enough. And actually, it's turned out to be the flip side of that. I never thought that they were going to have trouble scoring runs, but I've seen it so many times with this Yankee team where they're either not scoring runs, they're getting guys on base, they're not getting the big hits with runners in scoring position. There's underperformance with so many guys in the lineup that you were counting on to hit to the back of their baseball cards, that I do wonder if there is some sort of hangover effect from the 2020 season where, you know, guys, certainly, like, for example, Gleyber Torres came into camp in July for the restart out of shape. The Yankees talked about that. He said that he was having difficulty finding a place to train. So now you fast forward, and he's had about 12 months where he has not been the same player. And I do wonder, for how many guys was 2020 a problem in that it changed who they are as players, and now they're trying to get back to their 2019 form. That being said, there are plenty of teams around the major leagues that are playing crisp, playing well, outperforming their competition. The Yankees are just not in that conversation right now.
Yeah, and I wonder what you make of this idea. You know, like a bunch of years ago, they would always have a couple players in the league that just dominated them, no matter what the situation was. A guy like Sean Figgins, or Howie Kendrick, who would just own the Yankees, you know, speaking of the Angels. And now it seems like every roster has multiple guys who are playing faster than the Yankees, you know, playing more daring than the Yankees, more clutch. Rosarena or Vlad Jr., there are a lot of guys they just can't contain in every series, it seems to me.
Yeah, something you just said is very dead on. I think you hit the nail on the head in that other teams seem to be playing a faster brand of baseball than the Yankees. You know, I was up in Boston for the three-game sweep there, where the Red Sox seemed like they were just playing very crisp. They had their stuff together. They ran the bases well. They played defense well. And I think that with this Yankee team, part of the problem is this roster is just not constructed very well. The fact that they don't have a consistent left-handed hitter to take advantage of their dimensions. I think that's a crime. That's something that Brian Cashman needs to rectify as the general manager of this team. You have to build your team for the ballpark that you play in. And so the fact that you have this lineup stocked with right-handed hitters who can't power the ball out to right field. Look, they have guys who can hit the ball the opposite way, but you would really like to see a left-handed bat in that lineup. I think that they've just been so reliant on the home run that this team doesn't do the other things well. They don't run the bases very well. They lead the majors in outs on the bases, and they don't steal bases. So that just means that they're not mentally prepared here to perform. And you've seen that in the standings here. They're in the toughest division in baseball, in my opinion, with Tampa Bay and Boston, and Toronto's not going anywhere. So they've got their work cut out for them. If they are to fulfill their destiny as a playoff team, like they expect to be and they've talked about being, then they're really going to have to catch fire here in the second half.
How much of this, you mentioned the roster, you know, has some holes in it, the way the team's been constructed. Brian Cashman has been GM for 23 years. Is he in any sort of danger? Are the Steinbrenners still in Cashman's corner?
I believe that they are. I believe that the Steinbrenners still believe Brian Cashman is the right person to run baseball operations. But I think that if the Yankees do not make the playoffs this year, not only is Aaron Boone's job in jeopardy, but I think you have to have a real conversation about what is Brian Cashman's vision for this team, and is he the correct guy to continue doing this job? Because, look, Yankees GM used to be a job under George Steinbrenner where you could have three different guys in 1 year fill that job. You would cycle them in and out and, you know, on a whim. Now, I'm not saying, suggesting that's the right move to go back to, but 23 years in this job, I believe he is the second longest tenured, going only back to Ed Barrow, I believe, back in the olden days of Joe DiMaggio. So it's been a long time since anybody's had that kind of job security and longevity in the Yankee organization. And I think that if they miss the playoffs here, then I think you have to take a real hard look at everything and analyze, why did this team not play to its expectations? Was it a badly constructed team? Did the players just not hold up their end of the bargain? And where is the disconnect there? And I think that has to fall on, you know, the baseball operations department, which is Aaron Boone, yes, but above that is Brian Cashman.
Last thing, Brian, was there anything about covering baseball during the pandemic that you actually liked?
Last year was a very tough year. I think that, no, not really, to be honest with you. I'd have to say that it was a very stressful and challenging year. You know, walking into Yankee Stadium, I guess maybe the first couple of games that baseball was back, obviously no fans were allowed in there, but they allowed a very limited amount of media to be in the building. And so you'd get your temperature check and you'd wear your mask and we'd go in. And it was a very controlled, safe environment, I felt. But I felt fortunate that I was one of the few people in the world to watch live baseball last year. But it was also an eerie, uncomfortable feeling being in Yankee Stadium with nobody there. You know, I describe in the book how you would walk in and it was post-apocalyptic in a lot of ways. You would have the concession stands were closed and, you know, it looked like the gift shop was collecting dust. But then you turn the corner, you'd see the bright lights on and the Yankees are in their uniform at 7:05 ready to play a baseball game. And I'd look around and say, who are they playing this game for? And is it for me? And, you know, of course, there was an audience at home. And you had to remember that for 1 year, baseball was a made-for-TV sport and that this was basically a TV studio. And so I guess I don't miss that at all. I think that it gave me a greater appreciation for the energy that the fans bring. And even this year, when we started out having 10,000 at the stadium, that was so much better than zero, and now the crowds are beginning to come back in more and more larger numbers, and I just hope we never go back to anything like 2020.
Amen. Brian Hoke is MLB.com Yankees reporter, and his new book is The Bronx Zoom, Inside the New York Yankees' Most Bizarre Season. Brian, thanks so much for spending all this time with us, and enjoy the games.
You got it. Take care. Thanks for having me.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.